Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing Board or...
Miro. Our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. Rudo, AJ, Jesse coming to you live as trade deadline is officially passed. It's over. I woke up today trying to convince myself that things would happen today. Not just for the Avs, but for this entire league. And very little happened today.
This maybe had to be the most, like, fall flat deadline that I can remember in a long time with everything that led up to it. I don't remember the last time there was this much nothing that happened. Like, even by the numbers, I think this has got to be one of the least transacted trade deadline days ever. I think it... Like 11:30 Mountain Time, there had been four trades officially pushed through today.
Yeah.
Lots of fun.
There ended up being 18 total, including the nonsense minor league ones, of which the Avs did have one. Even after the buzzer, where you normally get that rush of like a bunch of trades, you had like four of them today. So yeah. Very little happening. Take us off topic for a second here, but I can do whatever I want. It's my show. Is this going to become the norm? Are we going to see this become like a two-week thing with the NHL trade deadline in the future? Or is this like a one-off weirdness?
I hope not, man. I thought this was awful.
I feel like it's been trending in this direction for a long time where like we see a lot of deals getting done ahead of time and stuff. This really did seem to be on another level. I thought AJ made a fascinating point yesterday, 2 days ago. I don't even remember about how so much trade capital was moved at this deadline to really like a small handful of teams that like, I don't know. I don't know what the next few deadlines are going to look like. Even for a team like the Avs, who like really didn't move many assets this year, that's because they've already kind of moved on from a lot of those. So like, it's just going to be really interesting. I don't think that we'll see what we saw this year, at least for a while. But I don't know. I think there's a chance that this kind of does this at least format becomes the norm where it's everything leading up. Because I think the other thing that we've seen in the last few years. The Avs being an example of this last year, Toronto being an example of it this year. Cool. If we're going to get a rental, we're going to rent them for as long as we can. If we can't, you know, if Toronto can't bring Ryan O'Reilly back, they'd rather get 4 months of O'Reilly than 3 months of O'Reilly, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Value is value.
I also think that teams that want to make big moves like that, doing it, the sooner you do it, the more games that they get to adjust. The more games you get to figure it out. And because we always talk about at the start of the year, you know, teams come into training camp, they've made all their moves, they've made whatever changes they've made, and we're like, oh, a new goalie and a new system is going to take time. And, you know, these guys now have to find line mates and chemistry and fit into the system. And we're always like, we'll see how things are in December.
I'm like 90% sure you're on the wrong, Mike, but not 100%.
Anyways.
Yeah. While he sorts that out.
I don't know why StreamYard does it.
Oh, that's better. Yep. It does sound better. It didn't sound bad before, but now that you've changed it, I can hear the clear difference.
I wish webcams didn't come with built-in mics. Please stop.
I've always thought that was weird. It's like, why? I don't need that. No one needs that. No one needs the webcam mic.
I mean, I guess a lot of people during the pandemic and the Zoom era were like, this is the only time I'm ever using this. Mm-hmm. It's easier to buy one thing than two. I get it, but yeah. Oh my God, that's annoying for me. It's really only annoying because StreamYard occasionally just selects it.
Yeah.
That for you. Yeah. Makes up your mind. I don't know. Today was a weird day for the Abs. The rest of the league, yes. I don't know. I'd love to hear your guys' theory on this, because obviously we were talking about it in the media room as we're waiting for C-Mac to come up. I really did. My kind of theory on this is that the market just kind of shrunk beneath the Avs' feet, and they eventually were left in a point where they were just like, well, none of these are our plan A, and we're not going to go overpay for our plans B and C. Now, I know people can have their theory on the, or their opinion on the Lars Eller thing. You know, I think the Domi deal and them not making any subsequent moves, I will concede that makes the Lars Eller price look a little bit worse, but I stand by what I said the other day. I'm not overly concerned with picks three drafts from now, but I just think that was why the Avs ended up essentially kind of standing pat. They made some depth moves. Absolutely. But
to me, the problem with the Lars Eller price isn't the draft pick ratio of cost to player. It's that second round pick was the last mid range asset that they had. It was either, okay, we have to go do something with the first now and do something big and splashy, or we do nothing. And the Avs seem to have settled on nothing there.
Well, so the other approach is you see what Tampa Bay did last year with Brandon Hagel. Two first-round picks for Brandon Hagel, signed for multiple years at $1.5 million. Really, really expensive, but he's been a really important guy for them. So I think they're probably looking at it and saying worth. Was there a Brandon Hagel out there making $1.5 million this year?
Right.
Nope. So they do the Tanner Jeannot thing. You know, he's making 900K. He had like 8 goals or something when they traded for him. And I guess my question, and when he got traded, the entire hockey world went, what?
Right. Right.
Did he just get traded for? What? What kind of assets? That was basically the only option that the Avs had at that point after the Eller deal, which you could use as an example of why the Eller deal was a problem. Because if they had used a third round pick on Eller and had the second round pick to do a Domi or to do a somebody else, you'd feel a lot better about the overall picture to do one of the defensemen today. I mean, John Klingberg for a fourth?
This was my thing, dude. He was the only one that when the dust kind of settled, I can even get myself on board with them feeling comfortable about the forward group they have. Hey, this is essentially minus Nazem Kadri. I get it.
Berkey.
Yeah, but I think you feel pretty comfortable with that forward core. I think Chris McFarland told us that the Lars Eller deal, he said about four times, we love the Lars Eller deal. We love getting Eller in here. He said they wanted a center somewhere in the lineup. They feel that gives them more depth. Okay, great. You can sell me on standing pat up front. I still don't know if I love it. You can sell me on it. when EJ went down and you moved on from Andreas Englund, I still feel like the Avs needed to add a regular, because now you really are banking on that decor that was your bread and butter. That was what pushed you over the top. That was the element of this team last year that no one could handle, was this decor. For them to not get anything done there, when you see the price that was ultimately paid for Klingberg, that's the one that I didn't like. Here's one thing I will say today that I picked up. I feel fairly confident in saying they did not view Domi as a good fit.
I think that's pretty obvious. Given that price, given I mean, we're talking multiple years that this has happened, and it's pretty obvious how they view Max Domi.
And I just wanted to put that out there because of the price on that. And I know that's going to be a deal a lot of people point to. You feel free to point wherever you want.
Yeah.
I really got the sense today from Max Domi was not a fit for Colorado.
Look, Colorado's front office is fairly diligent. It's not like they just totally skipped over Domi and didn't even check in on the price on the guy.
Oh my God, that guy was available?
Right.
Right, right.
Oh my God. Whose job was it to look into Max Domi?
So, speaking of jobs, here's the one other thing that I do just want to put out there, because I'm seeing it in every other mention, and I'm sure it's here in the comments. I haven't looked. Just so everybody understands the dynamic of this front office, Chris McFarland had a hand on the wheel the last 2 years, and Joe Sakic has a hand on the wheel right now.
Times we said this on the watch along.
I don't know where this idea came from that Joe Sakic, now sitting in a position of higher authority, has nothing to do with roster construction.
Sakic was on a beach somewhere today, just like
hopefully Chris makes the right moves.
I love Fridays.
I would also just like to point out and remind everyone that the key broker in the Matt Duchene trade, considered one of the most lopsided deals, not only in Avalanche history, but in NHL history, Chris McFarland was the broker of that trade. Like, he's the one that got it over the finish line. And I'm sure you guys have gone over all this. Look, I'm not saying that Chris McFarland gets a free pass to do whatever he wants. I'm not saying don't be annoyed that they didn't do anything today.
And not to be critical, but there's a difference between having a problem with today's moves or lack of moves or whatever, and being like, he doesn't know what he's doing.
Right. And so it's just like, hey, just so that everybody knows, just so that as you're working through your frustration, you are at least filled in with all the accurate facts. I would be willing to bet that in terms of the day-to-day stuff, decision-making, not a lot of the dynamic has changed in that front office over the last handful of years. The only difference is C-Mac is probably is the leader on some of those phone calls instead of also being on the phone call kind of thing. So I just want to make sure that that's said, repeated, and then repeated again for people thinking that this was a decision purely based off of Sakic no longer being the GM. I just don't think you have a complete understanding of how that front office runs.
There was during the watch along, there was a theory proposed that McFarland isn't well respected around the NHL like Sakic is. So teams didn't take his calls.
So, again,
so we have
more
been
context
going,
and understanding.
So, we have really, and I don't say this to, make that person feel dumb, just saying we are seeing the gamut run of theories.
Right.
To the depth of how Chris McFarland having the GM title has suddenly distinctly altered things.
Also, part of the reason why the Avs had to kick him up to GM was that there's such immense respect for him around the league that there was phone calls pretty much on this dude every day to interview for open GM positions.
He interviewed for three jobs.
Yep. So again, I just don't, I'm only bringing this up because I just feel like there's a severe lack of understanding in how this Avs front office is running right now. And I feel like it's causing people to misdirect their frustration.
Incorrect conclusions, for sure.
Right, yeah. Right. Again, be upset about the moves or lack of moves. Be whatever. Think it's a waste. Do your thing. But at least do your thing with a correct set of facts as your background knowledge.
Also, I would just like to add really quickly, since Matt Powell in the chat says, not sure why people were expecting trades like last year, but I went back last night through the responses that I got of those trades.
Yeah.
There was a healthy, to be fair, it was pre-split. There was a healthy dose of excitement. There were a lot of people really upset about the Arturi Lehkonen deal in particular. Really upset.
Well,
so it
just
was like it was one of those things where you're like, let's keep in mind, like, we all look back at that and like crushed it, was not viewed in that light on that day.
Well, and then my favorite part, dude, I've got someone just still losing their mind over the Lars Eller deal that just keeps popping up in my timeline. And like, I just find it funny because what they're losing their mind about is paying a second round pick. And then I scroll a little bit further and the rest of the frustration is, well, why didn't they just sell the farm? They're in the window. And it's like, I just feel like half of the people are split on don't overpay. The other half are, well, you didn't overpay enough to get what you needed. Look, I think for the first time ever, because look, AJ, you and I have made jokes. The we like our team, like, is a running joke going back now, like, almost 10 years. This is just how the Avs have acted at most deadlines. They like their core. They don't add. They don't make big swings. They fill in around the fringes. And I think that's what this Avs team did. I would say that, again, I am a little – I'll use the word disappointed just to give the folks what they
want.
I'm a little disappointed in what they've chosen to do. However, I'll say this as well. I don't think I've ever understood we like our team as much as you would this year. Why wouldn't you like this team?
A bunch of dudes who just won the cup.
Right. Like,
I will say, though, to further that point, do you think that the Edmonton Oilers went out and got Matthias Ekholm because they didn't think they needed extra help to try and stop, say, the Colorado Avalanche?
Right. I look at any move that was made out west, and it was, we are trying to catch the Colorado Avalanche. And that's genuinely, I tweeted out a little bit ago, Chris McFarland, he said, quote, we just weren't able to find the right deals that made sense. It wasn't for a lack of trying. I think that there was a lot of conversation in that room of being honest and looking around the rest of the Western Conference and saying, at full health, who do we need to catch? Who do we need to make a move to compete with? And I just, my guess is that Joe Sackett, Chris McFarland said, nobody. We're the team to beat. Yeah. So if any moves we make that we feel make us better to any extent, we think pushes us further from that group, and why hemorrhage assets, picks, whatever, if we feel we're the team to beat. I almost feel like it's almost at a point for me with Boston. It's like, now you're overkilling it. Like, now that's a lot of change. That's a lot of pieces that you're bringing in.
This is the thing with both Boston and Toronto that I was like, is this almost too much? Because now
with Toronto,
you're talking about
definitely too much.
With Toronto, you're talking about a third of their roster has now gotten turned over. They've got to try and figure out on the fly. What if all those pieces don't fit? And if they do, like, then they killed it. They made the right decisions.
Right.
I want to make, I know we have to get to that first break, Rudo, but I do want to make one last quick thing here before we pop into that is, you mentioned the Avs don't take big swings historically. The one year that they really went hard at the deadline was last year. So doesn't that serve as some sort of proof that taking big swings can work?
Not that
it will every year, obviously, but I'm saying that the aggressive approach last year paid off. They went one for one with the really aggressive approach.
I would argue, I would argue that none of those were big swings last year. Lehkonen
was a big swing.
They gave up two of their top five prospects and 2 second round picks.
Yeah, but again, like, we feel good about those because all those worked out. But to your point of going back through your mentions, didn't almost everybody freak out about all of those trades and what they gave up until you got to the Lehkonen deal where it was like, well, you have to, you know, give it up if you want to get. That was also an RFA under team control. I hear what you're saying because I'm with you, but I actually think that remove Lehkonen, what they did this year isn't all that unlike what they did last year. Yes, Manson's a much better defenseman than Johnson, but like really it was depth moves and then the Arturi Lehkonen deal. Well,
I think
at last year's
a pretty big ad. If they'd made a
looking back on it now, yeah.
I mean, they give up a second round pick and a top prospect, a top defenseman, which are mm-hmm. amongst the most valuable prospects in all of the lands.
Sure. So, when we were talking at last year's deadline, did any of us, like, we had all said, like, if they want to dip into that second tier, it's probably like a Josh Manson type. Like, he was not considered to be a big get.
Well, we didn't even know Josh Manson was on the market because Anaheim was right. all like, we're right. not trading our guys. And then they opened up shop and all their guys were gone the next day.
Right.
And you were like, so, what?
I guess I just more of mean the real big names, the splashy headline types of deals are the ones that the Avs typically aren't in on. It's the last few years, it's been smart moves that bolster the middle of the lineup.
Okay, let's inject a little bit of happiness into this show really quick. We do have the announcement of the winner of the Breckenridge Brewery Ultimate Fan Game Day Experience. Roll the beautiful bean footage.
It is time, folks. We're announcing the winner of the Breckenridge Brewery Ultimate Game Day Fan Experience. The winner is Kellen Eggleston. Congratulations to Kellen Eggleston. You have won fifth row tickets to an Avalanche game, as well as Club Lexus access, free parking at Ball Arena, and two DNVR shirts. Hard to do much better than that if you're an Avs fan. Good job, congratulations, and thank you to everyone who entered.
Okay. Congratulations to Kellen. Of course, brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. You can get yours at your local liquor store. Go to breckbrew.com to find it near you. Also brought to you by the amazing burritos down at Illegal Pete's. There's one just a couple of blocks from the bar where you can go get yourself the burritos. They have happy hour from 3 to 6 p.m. Delicious margaritas, which you can get over there. A bunch of fresh ingredients. They got something for everyone down there. Get Illegal Pete's. Get the burritos. Their queso is ridiculously good. So go check them out today at your local Illegal Pete's. 10 different locations here in Colorado. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. So I wanted to get back to this disappointment factor with Colorado not making a move. Jesse, I know you were talking about thinking they need to add on the defensive side. I was actually okay with them not adding on the defensive side until you get to today's practice. Josh Manson is going to miss some time. That feels like at that point, maybe you need another one.
Yeah, really. I just, and again, we had all talked about John Klingberg, the price that he ends up going for.
John Klingberg for Josh as a replacement for like Josh Manson or Eric Johnson would have been a terrible stylistic replacement, but you could at least right. see the appeal of Klingberg in Colorado, of course.
Right. Yeah, it's good call out for sure. But again, it would have just been one of those like, okay, well, they acknowledged the need on D.
Well, I mean, even if you're like, you saw Troy Stetcher get moved today, there were other options if you didn't want the Klingberg style of defenseman.
Radko.
Oh, see, I didn't want them to do that. The fakest tough guy in the league. Just, yeah, I did not want them to do Radko Gudas.
Oh, you said fakest tough guy in the league, and I was curious why the Avs would want Jordan Binnington.
I actually, when we were talking about him I said a couple things about him, and I think it was Peter goes, that kind of sounds like Jordan Binnington. I was like, the Jordan Binnington of skaters.
Radko Gudas would eat Jordan Binnington.
No, he wouldn't. This is my issue with Radko Gudas.
Eat him.
He gets in everyone's face, and the minute anyone challenges him, he just looks past them like, oh, no, I'm just involved in the play. It's like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, I thought they needed to add on D. And look, here's the funny part about everyone freaking out today. This Avs team has a great chance to come out of the West. Now that the dust has settled, assuming health, I still think out of Vegas, they are the odds-on favorite to come out of the West. And I just look around the rest of the Western Conference, and I don't see any team to me that passed the Avs in terms of their contender status with the moves they made. And ultimately, I think that's why the Avs decided to essentially stand pat. They felt good about where they were coming out of the West. We'll deal with whoever comes out of the East if and when we have to deal with them.
And I do think it's a little bit disappointing that they didn't make themselves better, despite feeling good. I think it's disappointing, not just on the defensive side, but on the forward side too, that they didn't try and go out and do something more than they did.
Look, we said the other day that you look back at that 2002 team, and they were one game away from going on to the Cup final and more than likely repeating. That felt like a missed opportunity. I still think this team has a chance to repeat, and that's why I think it's disappointing that there wasn't a big add. But again, I do just – the other part of this, this is more of me just kind of like tongue-in-cheek here. Do you think that there was any version of the conversation of like, we have had zero luck this year? Do we want to go do this and hope that our luck changes? Because that's the other thing that a lot of people talk about. You need luck to win in the playoffs. Do you think there's any part of this where it's just like, God, I don't know, this just doesn't feel like the go for it year?
No.
All
right. I'm just wondering.
No, I don't think that that's a consideration. If the three of us worked in a front office and one of us brought that up, I would punch you in the face.
So here's the thing.
AJ runs with an iron fist.
My thing with it is...
That was a little strong. I'm sorry.
You've got to be realistic.
So here's the thing about the realistic here.
Because
what the Avs do, I think what they do consider here, it's not that, oh, this isn't our year. It's, hey, this is year two. We have 4, 5, 6 more years of this window.
Right.
We can't blow the whole load in year two.
Right. Right. And that's kind of my thing is like when you take a step back and say, we may just not have it this year in terms of the luck. Let's roll with what we've got. Because of all the moves, everybody's furious. The Avs didn't do what these other teams did. Think of everything that happened. 43 trades coming into today. With the exception of one team, they're all going to be for nothing.
I would also like to add that not all deadlines are created equally. And some years, the guys that are available at the deadline on expiring deals fit what you're doing and fit who you are a little bit better. We just had a comment on the screen that was up for like a minute about how, oh, wish they could have gotten Krause. Yeah, that would have ruled. But like, I could tell you from the conversations that I've had around both of those organizations, Lawson Krause was not for sale. That is not a guy that the Arizona Coyotes have any interest in moving right now. Nick Schmaltz is a guy that could be had. I have said all year that I think that that's going to be more of a summer deal than the deadline. Because guys like that just don't get moved at the deadline very often. But I think that this year, when you looked at the deadline, when I was trying to go through and make a list before everybody started getting traded all over the place, there was one or two guys that really fit Colorado's biggest need of 2C. And Ryan O'Reilly and Adam Henrique were the two guys that I thought made sense. Henrique obviously has money going into next year, which was one of his big problems. Then he got hurt. He's also kind of a poor fit for their transition attack style. Like, that's just not where he succeeds. And you can live with that in a Lars Eller type, playing kind of a role, like a role player job for you, a more defensive shutdown thing. But in your top six, you don't necessarily love that. And then O'Reilly just, Toronto got the jump and outbid teams for both O'Reilly and Achari, because had Colorado been able to do that, I think that would have been the move for me. It was always O'Reilly, and then after that it felt like the 2C options had big problems. Like Max Domi, you're saying, hey, they don't think he's a fit. An awful lot of NHL teams have agreed with you, because that guy's now on what, like his sixth or seventh different franchise?
Well, and we talked about this the other day, where it's like all of us found it weird that of all the moves that had been made, why was Max Domi still sitting out there?
Right. Like this was one of those deadlines where you could have definitely paid through the nose for a guy that could do a job for you. Yeah. Did he really fit? And right. That was when we talked about, I mean, you talk about literally every single option: Boone Jenner, Kevin Hayes, Nick Schmaltz. There is a serious con.
Yeah.
In that pro and con column, there's a serious con that went there. And it was like, look, maybe the reality that we have to accept is that there just was not that guy available at right. this time of year, this time around, regardless of price or whatever. It just wasn't there for them for the taking.
The Avs drew a line in the sand at what is really probably their plan C or plan D, when you include the fact that 3 weeks before the deadline, Jonathan Tay says, oh, I can't actually play hockey.
Right, right. That's a great point. And you know, like the Lars Eller thing, again, it feels, we mentioned it the other night, that like as long as they make another ad, it's, you know, whatever. We're great with it. We like the Lars Eller as a depth piece. Again, we didn't hear until about 20, 30 minutes after 1 o'clock that the Avs were done. I do firmly believe they were trying to make deals. Chris McFarland said it was about 5 minutes before the deadline was when they first had the conversation that, shit, maybe we're not going to be able to get anything done. So, I mean, like they were trying to add, they were trying to bolster. And that's why I make that comment about, I do just think there has to be some consideration of like, we have guys dropping every fucking day. Josh Manson again. Are we going to go, you know, sell a 2023 first, an Oscar Olausen, only to have three more guys get hurt right before, and then all of this is for nothing? We have to watch that now piece that we acquired walk, and we just gave a bunch of assets. I can fully see this from both sides. I understand why people are frustrated. Again, I think it's a little disappointing that they just kind of sat on their hands for the most part, ignoring the depth deals of Jack Johnson, Matt Nieto, and Lars Eller. You know, the Avs really kind of stood.
I don't think you should ignore those. I think you can say, hey, I don't think their moves were enough, but it's not like they did nothing.
Their bottom six is deep now, because you can scratch any. If the Avs forward core actually gets healthy, Helm and Landeskog, all these cats come back, you're good.
You're considering scratching Matt Nieto. Like,
your one thing is that like your 2C just isn't good enough. And that is a fair concern to have. It is also important to note that one, center depth is one of the very hardest things to acquire in the NHL. It is really hard to find.
Yes, dude.
Teams kill those. Like, teams are so hard up for centers that they have guys like Nick Suzuki as 1Cs. Right. Let alone, like, and that's, I'm not trying to crush Nick Suzuki, who's obviously a really good player, but like, that's like the best.
How many trades are the Nashville Predators going to make trying to find a top six center? You know what I mean? Like, just over the last number of years,
they paid $17 million in cap space for their 1 and 2 Cs and still were disappointed.
And like, the reality is,
it's that hard. That is a hard job to find somebody to do.
And the guy pictured in everyone's mind doesn't exist, because the comparison right now is with Nazem Kadri of last year, and not even Nazem Kadri would give you that guy.
Nazem Kadri is not the Nazem Kadri of last year.
That guy
is not an option. It does. It's not out there.
I laughed because
was not going to like that Nick Suzuki comment. I'm sorry.
I just had a mention flash across my screen. Someone replying to this C-Mac quote, and he goes, "It's crazy. All the Avs needed was one thing, just one, a 2C. That's it." And it's like, you say that's it? Like, that's not maybe like the second or third hardest thing to acquire.
Outside of elite players, like getting like quality center depth is hard. It's really, really hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I just, like I said, I get it. I get you. You want to see him do more, but I really do. I can at least understand how they kind of ended up here. And I believe Chris McFarland when he says it wasn't for a lack of trying. Again, we know the Avs had interest in Patrick Kane going back to last deadline, right? He did the Claude Giroux thing. I'm going to the Rangers. So cool. Off the board. Ryan O'Reilly. I have some reason to believe they were interested. AJ, I know you've got reason to believe they were very interested.
No, there's no, there's not. They were in on that shit. They just lost.
I was trying to be a little coy here. I didn't want to sell you out too hard. They were in hard on Ryan O'Reilly. They got outbid. They got hard outbid. What can you do? Jonathan Toews, another guy we know they had interest in. We know they had interest in. Long COVID, long-term side effects. He shut himself down for the season. What are you going to do? Who is the other big name that got moved?
At center? I mean,
or Max, just forward.
Max Domi. Max Domi was there. Remember Sean Monahan got hurt again during his rehab. Yep. Adam Henrique got hurt a week before the deadline. Like, that market went away.
Right.
Yep.
And that's really the point that I'm making above all else. The market just kind of went away on some of these guys. And Rudo, I think you said it a minute ago.
Horvat.
I do think Horvat. Thank you.
Yeah.
Horvat was the other one. A month before the deadline, gone off the board. And I think the Avs got to a point where they were like, yeah, we're not going to pay plan B prices for plan C and D guys.
Yeah.
Like, and we're
that's
just
where
not.
When you got to the part where it was like first round picks. That was the conversation that you ended up. Rudo, you need a hat. You need to be a hat guy. We are obviously a hat pod now.
Cool. I got this.
With Megan's addition, it's 3-1. We got it. Now I'm a little nervous about what hat.
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
out.
He said, okay, I got this, and then walked away laughing.
How did you do this?
Yeah, I just go back to the question that we kept asking. You're talking about 2C, who out there, especially to that point, AJ, of first-round pick, who out there was a clear upgrade over JT Compher?
Yeah.
That was available after Ryan O'Reilly got dealt.
And, like, I think it will add to some frustration if we get into the summer, into the offseason, and the day of the draft, they trade their first-round pick for Boone Jenner.
Yeah.
You'll be like, we couldn't have done this in March.
Right.
I think it will add to that. Okay. Oh, nice. That All is right. massive shill energy.
That is – I was nowhere near my expectations, so I actually think I'm pretty happy.
I thought about coming back with my shirt off.
I know.
we are brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, by the way, though. You can go over there right now. You can get a new account with code DNVR, bet $5 and get $200 in free bets just for placing the bet. So get over there, jump on it, put your money where your mouth is. If you think the Avs didn't do enough at this trade deadline, bet against them. Get out there, do what you got to do. If you think the Avs can still do it without it, bet for them. Go for it either way. Maybe this just means McKinnon's got to carry harder and win the Conn Smythe. I don't know. It's up to you. You can bet on it however way you want to. Go in there. I would say it's a lot easier to bet on the Avs in the West than it is to bet on any team in the East. I would put it that way to you for sure. I have no idea who's going to come out of the East. excuse me. But get over there. Bet on DraftKings. Download their sportsbook app now. You can use that DNVR code to get the $5 bet for $200 in free bets. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See the show notes down below for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700, and it's void in Ohio. Also brought to you by the amazing people over at Athletic Greens. All right? Sometimes, maybe Evan Rodriguez just needs a little AG1 in his life to get that goal scoring going again, and he can be the Avs 2C. Who's to say, really? don't know if AG1 can give you goal scoring powers, but what it does give you is a bunch of different vitamins and minerals, probiotics, electrolytes, adaptogens, all sorts of amazing stuff that boost your immune system. Tons of athletes use it as part of their daily routines. So it's just something that is easy to use. One scoop in your cup of water every morning, you drink it, you're going, you're off on your day. When you purchase it, you get a year's supply of vitamin D along with it. So Athletic Greens is taking care of you no matter what. Head on over to athleticgreens.com/avalanche today to take control of your health and get yourself some AG1. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Megan, also back from practice like Jesse. What was your take on the day for Colorado and the Chris McFarland presser?
It's a nuanced thing. I do feel a little bit of disappointment, but I'm also not completely dissatisfied either. It's not so black and white. I think that the transaction that bolsters the Colorado Eagles and gives them more depth options down the middle was so necessary.
Classic Megan response.
When I said that I wanted to see at least one more acquisition, I had two that I was hopeful for positionally. I actually didn't even consider the Eagles in that because the AHL trade deadline is actually next week. And so that wasn't really on my radar when I said I wanted the Avs to make another move. A minor league deal was not actually what I was thinking of because I had that pegged as a necessity for the Eagles at this point. When they let Kevin O'Neill go from his PTO yesterday, I had an inkling that something was coming. Either someone was returning to health or something was coming. But either way, that is why I'm not completely dissatisfied. But it still poses a little bit of a concern that the Avs have such a concern with depth down the middle. This has been a recurring trend throughout the course of this whole season, truthfully. It's why Alex Galchenyuk was brought here on a PTO and then signed. And they just haven't quite found a solution that I think they're completely confident in. And that gives me a little bit of concern. However, I still like some of the other moves that led up to today. I like the addition of Eller. I like Nieto. I guess Dennis Malgin is in that conversation too. Like these things that have happened that precede today, I like, I think make this team better. I was just hoping for a little bit more today, but I really have a lot of respect for Chris McFarland. And I have a feeling you guys addressed this earlier in the show, just the distinction to be made in the roles that Chris McFarland play, Joe Sakic, that it's not singularly Chris McFarland making decisions, that your president, who is Joe Sakic, also has influence over how these decisions get made. And the way in which Chris McFarland was highly coveted, like in the summer before he was promoted to general manager.
Louder for the people of the
back. Keep going.
Okay. So I don't know if people realize this, but he was highly coveted outside like of the Colorado Avalanche organization. The temptation to move on to a more elevated position elsewhere was absolutely there. The Avs making the promotion within for Chris McFarland is to keep him here because they see the value in him here. He is a big part of decisions that get made last year. And so I don't think that his voice somehow becomes more silent or less influential just in the change of a season. And I really like too the addition of Kevin McDonald to this front office that I think it's only made better because of his experience with scouting and American League. That's another part of the conversation is when they are looking at moving pieces out to potentially receive a return, that is someone, Kevin McDonald, who can evaluate the value of prospects very well. And that is someone that was joined this front office then over this summer that also is a really good outside perspective that was probably able to weigh in on these conversations in terms of what the return might be versus what they might be giving up, and was probably one of the voices saying, you know what, I actually think Jean-Luc Foudy should be protected unless the return is worth it. And when you talked about A versus B options, I think that's the room that we entered because of the way this trade deadline played out, the way that Horvat was moved so quickly into this deadline, Ryan O'Reilly not so long after that. It really made the options available to the Avs pretty limited. And I think just the overall construct of this front office had to consider what it is they'd be giving up, what it is they'd get in return. Will it really make this team better? And it was a difficult conversation. When Eller was brought in, we talked about the way in which we enter JT Compher territory, where basically anyone that comes in has to be better than JT Compher. I think that's the room that we stepped into by today. The options that were left became so limited that my one qualm is defensively, there were still options as of today. I don't know what the asking price was, but that was where I really hoped that one acquisition I was like, I was still holding out for. That's where it was. That's where I feel a little bit of disappointment. And I don't want it to come so quickly on the heels of news that Josh Manson is injured again. But that is a part of this too. That's a part too that this front office is far more privy to than you or I. So they have this notice that Josh Manson has sustained another injury related to his last that maybe makes the concern of another defenseman a little heightened in my mind. But I just want to say I have a lot of respect for Chris McFarland, the way he treated media today. I think he was pretty open to fielding any questions that we could have thought to ask. So I understand if people are disappointed. I have a little bit of disappointment too, but I still have a lot of faith, trust, and respect in not only Chris McFarland, but this front office.
So I got on and said, I don't know if you guys already talked about this, and then went on a near identical rant about Chris McFarland, Joe Sakic. And they were like, yeah, we did the exact same rant on the watch along. So
now we're all like very defensive of like, this is a dumb talking point. Like,
well, I was going to say that's my thing more than anything else. It's just like, it's what we said earlier. It's an incorrect talking point. And I'm not even bullshitting you. Megan, while you were saying that, here's a direct quote from a DM that I got someone sending me a message of response. This dude acts like Joe Sakic moved to Mexico. Like,
that's a funny
DM. Anyway, they sent me a tweet of what someone was saying.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, I just don't.
Funny.
Like, I just don't get it. So, yeah, if people aren't explicitly clear by the end of this day listening to us of how the front office operates, I don't know how to help you.
We should see what's Evan and Peter up to. Can they come on and tell us the same thing?
How do you guys feel about the dichotomy between Chris McFarland and Joe Sakic? And just see how many people we can get to be like, people don't understand.
They work together.
Yeah.
I would just like to echo Megan's thoughts. The final part of that we haven't already echoed. That the lack of the defensive ad is the one that really stings with me the hardest today. It felt like that was the most robust market that you could use. One of those 2025 third, fourth, fifth rounders, even a 2024 fourth rounder that you have sitting on the board. That felt like you could really do some work with that. And when John Klingberg goes for a fourth rounder, and I'm not even sitting here saying they should have gotten John Klingberg. As I mentioned earlier, he would have been a really weird replacement for a Josh Manson, Eric Johnson type. And really redundant. His skill set would have been really redundant in Colorado. Like Rudo and I on the live thing earlier, were trying to build a power play. And we had five defensemen on both units, between both units, with John Klingberg in the lineup, trying to maximize John Klingberg's skill sets. But it's like, it did feel like that was the area of opportunity. And it was just, it feels like that was the big one that they really left on the board.
Yeah, and like we said earlier, my thing with the decor is that right now you are as the way it stands, let's assume Josh Manson is back by playoffs. you're looking at Jack Johnson as your number six. He's Jack Johnson. Like, you don't have Jack Johnson waiting to get inserted into the lineup if you need. Jack Johnson is your line. Like, he's in your lineup. So if they feel comfortable with that, which clearly they do, then hey, you know, they feel good. And here is the one last thing, as is with all of this stuff, I would encourage people to reserve judgment for June. Because like Rudo said a minute ago with the DraftKings read, and like we've said all season long, that's how you feel. Stick with it. Stick with it. Put your money where your mouth is. Have that opinion and own it. I'm just going to say, wait a little bit before you pass judgment on this deadline. Because hypothetically, if the Avs were to go, they get Landy back, they get Manson back, they're healthy, they go on a run again, and they win the cup, then it's, well, you just went back to back and you didn't hemorrhage all of your top assets at the deadline.
Now you have three first round picks at the draft to play with to try and make your team even better. Good luck, everybody else. Like,
right,
yeah,
right. And for and sure. Now if they go get smoked in round one, yeah, you can definitely say and they needed to do something more. But
a couple things here, just to kind of reiterate that point. Yeah, Jack Johnson is their sixth. You know who was their sixth when they won the Stanley Cup?
Jack Johnson.
Literally in that game.
Beyond that, the Avs did make a trade to keep the streak alive. That's 23 years in a row now of a deal. They traded Anton Bleed for Gustav Rydahl, and that's all I have to say about that trade.
C-Mac said that that's a guy that they see as a potential call-up candidate.
Okay. So he's got 15 points in 40 games in the AHL. So
I was not mean to Nick Suzuki.
The only other question I have is, who's wearing more hats? All of you or me?
All of, well, isn't it the same? Unless you have like a secret teeny one in there.
So it's going to depend on what you define as a hat.
Do you have a yarmulke on at the base or something?
Or is it like a figurative? Like, I wear many hats. I moonlight as a jazz singer.
That's what you came up with off the top of your head was jazz singer.
I'm sorry, guys. It's been a really long day.
Nope.
No, jazz singer.
No, this year's bone surgery is jazz singer.
I was fascinated because you could see the hamster running in the wheel, and I was like, "What's she gonna come up with?" And it was.
I thought you were gonna say Hatter. I thought you were gonna say a Hatter, like the Mad Hatter, and I was like, "That's funny."
I also don't jazz like. Singer, does yeah, it yeah, count? I have a beanie.
Oh, what, Rudo?
Now we have problems.
If
there
if,
was a beanie in there.
Well, that wasn't on. That was just like tucked into one of the hats.
I mean,
well,
it was on it does, my head.
Does not count.
I want to say, Rudo starting that with, what do you consider a hat? Was very much like Christian Horner being accused of cheating in Drive to Survive. And starting his defense with, the definition of cheating, which is a tacit admission that dude did it, but he's trying to very technically walk around it. What's the definition of a hat? Give me a break.
I think he pretty much came out and said they didn't cheat. And then at the start of the next episode, he was like, so we cheated.
It appears that we did, in fact, exceed the spending cap.
Anyway, Avs didn't exceed any spending caps, so they got that going for them at least. I think a little bit disappointing, but still no reason to not have confidence in this team. We've got some super chats to get to here. $10 from Oliver, who says there is only one team with Cale Makar, Nate MacKinnon, and Mikko Rantanen. Nobody in the West is beating this team 4 times in 7 games.
Also, there's a really, really, really high chance that while the team that goes into the postseason this year is worse than last year, they get much better goaltending.
Mm. Yep. $5 from Will, who says at least 2 of New Jersey, Toronto, New York, Boston, Carolina, and Tampa Bay will lose in the first round. Big swings can miss.
Well, and like in the so Cat Friendly has put a thing out. Boston has lost 6 draft picks this year.
They are also like Bergeron, Krejci. Those guys are at the end of their careers. Right. This is it. Like we talk about their window and all this other stuff. Like this is the last hurrah in Boston with this like exact group. And then do you know what they have to do? Find centers.
Yeah.
Because they've got, you know, Pastrnak and Taylor Hall and Charlie McAvoy and their goalies. Like they're still going to be good, obviously, but they have to find centers after this. It's a hard thing to do. There's a reason that this is their last hurrah. This is also, Boston should also be an inspiration for Colorado fans that are despondent today, that 12 years from now, as long as Colorado keeps this band together, there's a very real chance that they could be in a similar situation as the Bruins of being like, we won a title over a decade ago, but we've kept the right core guys in place that we could still do this because they can still play.
Pittsburgh, I think, is the other good example with that.
Pittsburgh and Washington both. Like, you just can, as long as you keep Tampa. Your elite players, you just keep getting kicks at that can. You know, there will be some years where you are a better team than others, for sure. That's where the Avs are, but I'm really hung up on this wasted core stuff that really bothered me today on Twitter.
I saw that one and it did make me laugh. I was going to say something before we got off because that's just the where people's heads, I think, are at. And maybe it's a product of social media with how quickly things move and how much new information you always get. But yeah, like, oh my gosh, they're wasting Nathan MacKinnon. It's like he just won. He's the current winner. He's the reigning. Like, it's still their cup.
When he signed that deal for $6.3 million, had I told you you were going to win one Stanley Cup during that tenure, would you have, and then said, gotten to the next thing and said, by the end of it, you will say that it's a waste. You'd be like, no way. There's just not a chance.
Right. Right. Yeah. And Toronto, Tampa, Washington, Pittsburgh are all the examples of when you keep that core together, yes, you're always going for it. But to your point, AJ, there are going to be some years where you just have to go for it with the group that you've got. And I think part of that is a decision by the Avs this year. I think the other part of that is the market just didn't shake out the way they wanted.
$5 from Cody here. Would have liked another D, fine otherwise. Didn't seem like big rental cost made sense or were hurt, nor was there a Lekkonen-esque option. I think we pretty much already covered all of that. Need a hat? Go to FOCO. Get to FOCO.com to get hats from your favorite sports teams. They also have other apparel licensed officially through the leagues, as well as things like bobbleheads, weird stuff like Crocs and blankets and all sorts of crazy merch. So go check them out at foco.com today. Use code DNVR when you check out there to get 10% off your purchase. I think I'm about done. Now this is hour 5 that we've been live. We're working into hour 6 now at this point. So I think we're going to wrap this show up, but we appreciate everyone hanging out, having a good time today. We will be live tomorrow for the matinee game for the Avalanche and live for the Sunday game as well. I think
it's a 1:30 start.
At very least tune in to hear me try and sing Fly Me to the Moon because I'm a jazz singer now. So we appreciate all of y'all. Why not?
Because that's a wonderful, beautiful song. And I don't think that you've got that in you.
Oh, I absolutely do not. We will talk to you guys tomorrow.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.